Man, Mike, I appreciate that, bro. I needed that. I needed you in particular. I think God brought you just to encourage me today. So that was good. Thank you, brother. That was good. So it's good to praise the Lord. It's kind of something when he did that and he paused, I was like, wow, we kind of have to extort, but we kind of got to, you know, it's kind of wild how awesome God is and how we kind of have to pause to think about how awesome God is. You know, it's wild. So, but anyway, well, guys, thank you for being here. I got the first session. It's going to be very brief, and I'm going to keep it into just a few minutes here, and just carry off of what Justin was talking about yesterday. You know, he asked us and he challenged us yesterday morning, in our first session, about, you know, what are we doing simultaneously, right? If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And I'm not going to be too scripture heavy. I just want to share a brief testimony. And an encouragement, really, and an example, maybe. I don't know. But in Acts chapter 1, a very familiar passage to all of us, you know, the apostles are in transition, and they're wondering what's coming next. It's kind of like today, the big day, right? Oh, no, you know, like I said yesterday, Sunday morning, you know, Black Hole Sun, New Radford's going to open up today at 2 o'clock, and Earth's going to shake and everyone's going to get sucked into a black hole somewhere, you know. So there's a lot of people that are just on edge about a lot of things. That's not going to happen, I don't think, by the way. I hear all these crazy things floating around, and what's probably going to happen is there's going to be an eclipse and 10 minutes later we're going to go back to our business. But nonetheless, you know, when there's times of transition and change, people are wondering what's next, what's next, what's next. And the cool thing about where we are as believers is we already know what's next. I mean, we don't have to sit around and guess. We know what's next. We know what time it is. And so really it isn't about having anxiety over the next thing. It's having assurance about who we are and what we're doing now so we can accomplish God's missions before it's too late, right? We're all on a clock and we only have so much time and we got to get the mission done. And we know the Laodicean church age fails. But I'm not, like my mama said, you know, I'm not accountable for everybody else's church, right? I'm accountable for Heartland and what's going on in this church. And if you're a pastor, you're accountable for your church and what God's doing in your local church, in your community. And then we're all, as individual Christians, responsible for engaging in the mission of God and literally accomplishing that mission in some way, shape, and fashion through our individual lives, which is it. Now, that's a big equation. That can get a little complex, but hopefully, I know the fellowship of churches that we have, we really try to connect you and give you every opportunity to do that through the ministry of the local New Testament church, which is the vehicle that God has chosen to do that. And so, in Acts 1, I told you to turn there, in 1:8, there's this transition, and they don't really know yet, because the Holy Ghost hasn't come and taught them till Acts chapter 2, what's about to happen. And so Jesus tells them in verse 7, well, let's start in verse 6. It says, when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, Acts 2, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud and received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Right. And then they went back to Jerusalem. And then, of course, we know the rest of the book of Acts and the transitional nature of that. By the time we get to the end of it, we're in the full on church age and Gentile churches in motion. So but they were standing there looking to heaven and like, you know, don't worry about it. Get to work. Right. I got work for you to do down here. He'll come back and he'll catch you. He'll catch you away. And so, you know, getting back to the Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, I think most of us in the uttermost, we all, I think in most of our churches, kind of use that as a template. And we know historically that's literally what happened. It started in Jerusalem and worked its way out simultaneously. So here at HBF, we have a way of phrasing that, that we want to accomplish God's mission supernaturally, simultaneously, and strategically. So we put three S's on that. And we want to do that, obviously, in our Jerusalem, which is Cass County. Of course, the metro, the regions beyond, and to the uttermost. Every city, right? Every county, every country, right? And just kind of magnify that out. All right, so I think we all, in every continent, that's the fourth one, yeah. So we've got all these ways of defining that and making it palatable and everything. But practically speaking, you got to just do it, right? Somehow, some way. And so I just wanted to take a moment and share something that we're doing here at HBF called Adopt a Street, and just share the story, and just encourage you, hopefully, in the Lord in doing the same or something similar in your community. I think Justin said it yesterday in Decatur, which is a big ship down in Alabama. There was a time when they didn't even focus on their own city, right? And so you've got to have a balance between Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost. You can't do, even like a baby church plant. One of the things I was disciplined in when we started was having a vision conference, and we had no really means, we just by faith. And quickly God ramped it up, and we sent a missionary, maybe prematurely, I don't know. But it was amazing. God just took off, and that was also because we had a sending church that helped us get a good start, and all of those things work together. But we have to have the vision is not predicated on our size or our bank account or even our membership numbers, right? The mission is the mission. I mean, Jesus has 12 dudes, and ultimately, when we get to the passage that says that they turned the world upside down, it wasn't those 12 dudes. That was actually Paul and his motley crew, right? And so I mean, it really takes God and some people that are really focused on what God wants them to do, a very crystal clear in the doctrine, the teaching, and the discipling that has to occur. And so a few months ago, I had a meeting with a lady. She was a representative. Some of you may have heard of her, Vicki Hartzler. And she called a meeting. She's like, "Hey, I want to come to your office and talk to you." I'm like, "Okay." Now, I've known Vicki for a lot of years, and if you know me, I keep the church. I almost thought about inviting Vicki, but I'm like, no, I'm not inviting Vicki, because I keep the church out of the politics and the politics out of the church. And I learned early on not to mix the two. God gave me some wisdom, basically, from my discipleship experience, and then my real experience once I became a pastor. I'll just tell you, the people of the party that I would probably be inclined to vote for called our office. We were just a baby church plant, just opened our office, just got out of my house and got into an office up here on Commercial Street. And they called and they said, "Hey, Representative so-and-so said that you wanted to," they didn't call me, they called the secretary and said, "Hey," because I was working, by the way, I was still working a job. So I called the secretary and say, "Hey, Representative so-and-so said that your membership list was ours to have, that, you were going to share that with us." And she says, "Let me check with Brian. I don't think so." So she called me and said, "Hey, did you tell someone they could have our membership list?" I'm like, "No, not at all." And so I knew right then. I was like, "Okay, we are not gonna partner with these fellows." And so I've been really leery of that ever since. I want to keep the garment spotless with the church. But I will say this about all of that: just a few miles down the road, there's a wonderful Christian woman. Her name is Vicki Hartzler. She's a good Christian, and she was a congresswoman. And she left off. She got voted out. Mark Alford took her place, and then the guy, the attorney general here in Missouri, took the slot that she was looking for. So she's now unemployed in that business, which is fine. And so that's one of the reasons I took her. I thought, okay, well, I'll meet with Vicki. I wonder what she wants. So she comes in, sits down in my office, and talks to me, and says, "Hey, I'm convicted about our reaching our community for the gospel." And because I know her and her testimony, I believe her. She has no other motives. And so I'm like, "Okay, I'm all ears. What do you got?" And she's like, "Well, this is, what do you think?" And she floats some ideas across the table. And I'm like, "Man, Vicki, that's a great thing to do." She's like, "Can we just get some churches together to just go door to door and commit to getting to know our neighbors?" And that's the long and short of it. So I'm like going through my check boxes of, okay, what could go wrong here? And there's a lot. After we get done with our conversation, I'm like, "No strings attached, no strings attached." I'm like, "Well, who's going to lead it?" "Well, I don't know." And so what happened from all of this is I said, look, Vicki, all commit Heartland, and they want to divide this up in neighborhoods and get churches, only evangelical churches, to do this. So like no JWs, Rome's not involved, even marginal churches not involved. I'm surprised even one of the hipster churches isn't involved. So it's pretty much people that preach the gospel, and I'm encouraged in that. I don't even know how they refine that list, but I wasn't a part of it. Anyway, I just said, look, we'll take this neighbor, we'll take the neighborhood. And she says, well, which one do you want? I said, haha, there's a potential problem. I said, I'll take the one nobody wants. I don't really care. We're out here in a cow field. Everybody else can fight over the neighborhoods, which, by the way, did ensue shortly thereafter. And so, I let all the churches duked it out over whatever neighborhoods they wanted to take. And as it ended up, there was 300 houses somehow left over right in the heart of Harrisonville. I'm like, are you kidding me? So our neighborhood that we inherited, and I say inherited because we didn't, I put no stake in it, and Pat's aware of this. And by the way, Pat Lee heads this up for us, and Pam Jackson, I don't know if she's in the house, but she's done a tremendous job as well helping us organize and get this on the ground. So we took these 300 houses that they kind of assigned to us. And our job for 6 months is to be their friends. Just hit them once a month, let them know who we are, what we're doing, and obviously to get the gospel to people. But mainly just to let the community of Harrisonville know that the church is here. And I say the church more with a capital C than a small C, but we're doing that through local churches. And obviously we're not all the churches are not, you know, we're not all doctrinally, you know, 100% congruent. But everyone does that's involved is a gospel preaching church. And so I was like, man, we can do that. We do that anyway, by the way. So this isn't something we don't already do. It's something we're already doing. We do it systematically based off of our calendar. We have several outreach events that we naturally do every year we would go out for coming up as Christ Soccer Academy. We're going to be starting that in June, 5-week intensive soccer skills right out back. And that gets a lot of people. So we'll go out taking it to the streets. Easter, we just did that with Easter. We actually just used this and this Adopt a Street, and we went and gave them Easter invitations. And so we're just working. It just so works out that our normal outreach events, we got Church in the Park coming up. We'll have Spark in the Park at the 4th of July celebration. So we'll have events leading all the way up to I think August or September, just in our natural flow, which we would be going out. So we just took and brought that together with what we're already doing. And so it's not like a super heavy lift, but what it has allowed us to do is be intentional about a neighborhood for 6 months. And I don't take any credit for that. That is actually the credit of a lady. And I just want to bring this up. So there's a lady in our community that's been all the way to the top seats of power in our nation. And this is really the story I want to tell, and I'll be done because this really doesn't merit a whole lot more time. But she went all the way to the top power, you know, of the nation. And she comes back. What's going to help our country? What's really going to change things? I better get on the phone and start calling all the pastors, and we better go to people's houses and start inviting them to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that was the takeaway I got from the whole thing. As I'm sitting here with this woman who's been everywhere, man, you know, she's been everywhere. And she's the real deal, you know, and she's one of the few people I would endorse, you know, she's a good woman. And at the end of the day, there ain't enough money, there ain't enough political power, there ain't enough influence in Washington, there ain't enough influence in politics to really do a thing. If you're going to see the world turned upside down, if you're going to see change, it's going to come from people getting up, going knocking on someone's door, say, hey, I'm Brian Hedges, I'm with Heartland Baptist Fellowship, I just want to be your friend. You have a church home? Can I pray for you? I'll be back next month. Here, you want to come to our Easter service? We'd love to have you. You know, and just loving up on our neighbors. Imagine the great commandment, you know, at the end of the day, just loving God and loving people is it. And so I'm excited about this as we see it as a door of utterance, a great door of opportunity. Effectual is opened unto us. And this isn't happening in every community. It's even brought even fundamental Baptists have come together. So we've had, Pastor Kagan and I, which we don't fellowship much, we've had come together and we're fellowshipping over this and we're coming and praying, and it's good. It's a great, thing that's going in our community, and I'm trusting that the Lord's going to use it to just continue to bring a Philadelphian, hopefully revival, in this community and in this county. I was excited about the Yoders. The Yoders live up in Raintree in Lee Summit, and they're like, "Man, we're fired up about this." And can I tattle on you? Yeah. So they're like, "Hey, what do you think about us doing this in our neighborhood?" I'm like, "Yes, that'd be awesome if we got so contagious that we just did this. You know, we just went around our neighbors and just said, hey, you know." And I was convicted about this. I will tell you, probably 22 years ago or so, it was the first time I really got punched in the face over this deal. And we'd planted the church. We were busy. And you know how it is in our churches. You can spend your whole life doing discipleship, and you should. But you still got to get out. So part of our discipleship now is we task, you know, the disciples to engage the disciples in evangelism. And so we provide these opportunities. And if we're not taking our disciples, why not? Right? These are just low-hanging fruit. You can do these things. And so several years ago, you know, when Doug Pearson came into our life, he was out from Greater Grace. This is before we even engaged in the India thing. He was out here and he says, "Hey, let's," you know, Doug, he's like, "Hey, let's go door knocking." And I'm like, "Do we have to?" You know, I'm like, "I don't have an event. You know, what am I supposed to do?" Because I was pretty accustomed to doing what I'm explaining to you. I've always been minded to get out in the community and engage and find ways to communicate. Because really, you're just looking for conversation with all of this stuff. And it's easier to give somebody something than to just cold call. But no, not Doug. He's like, "Well, we'll just offer him prayer." So I went over, if you guys know I'm peculiar, I went over to Sherry Drive. And I said, "This is a good place to start. Let's go to Sherry Drive." And so... because I just, that was a community here in this area. Some of you guys know why I went to Sherry Drive. And so I was like, "Let's go to Sherry Drive because they need Jesus over there." And I actually was working with some people on Sherry Drive. It wasn't just that. It was all of that. And so I tested it with Doug. And man, it was so convicting. When someone just sincerely walks up, doesn't know somebody, knocks on the door and says, "Hey, I'm Doug Pearson, I'm with the Heartland Baptist Fellowship. We're just praying for this neighborhood. Is there anything I can pray for you about?" You'd be shocked at how disarming that was and how people would be just like, yeah. And that's it. That's all we're asking for. And man, when that schooled me. I'd been through 4 years of shepherd school. I'd been on missions trips. I'd planted a church, you know, that was underway. And yet I'm just now learning how to go door to door. You know, because in our big old church, we never had to really do that much. And so I just want to encourage you in that. I just want to share the story. There's no real catch to this other than just to encourage you to be about the business of praying about our communities. I know other pastors, this is an idea you might. This is not a new idea. This is like there is an official adopt a street thing that they've done. It's 20, 30 years old. It's out of date. It's already in the garbage can. It's not all about that. It's really, as far as, you know, all the movements and the new initiatives that come and go, it's really not about a new thing. It's really just doing the old thing. And so I just wanted to share with you, that's what we're doing. And I've been through this cycle a couple times now that I've been in the ministry. So I remember doing the same thing. After doing that door knocking thing, I was zealous for it. We went to London and I was zealous for it. And me and the team went over, and at that time, Brian Clark was just in, he just moved to Chislehurst not too long before that, and he wasn't of the mind at that time to go out like that. He was exactly like I was. And I said, "We got to do it." I was being Doug Pearson. I'm like, "We got to do it." So we did the door-to-door thing, and it was cold as ice, I will tell you, in Britain. And then we went to the mall. And at that time, and this is so funny, because at that time, Brian was kind of like, "Well, we can do things even if they're dumb. God will bless them." You know, he's kind of like that, you know. I'm like, "Yeah, you know, Brian, how Brian is." And I'm like, "Okay, we're going to do it anyway, because I got a team here, and we didn't come just to sit around with our hands in our pockets." So we went to the mall, and I spent 45 minutes talking to a Muslim at the mall. Roger Heath was with us at the time. Roger Heath was witnessing. I mean, doors were open. You thought he was in America. We had no problems at the mall. And it wasn't long after that. Brian started going to the high street. He met the Jews for Jesus and all of that, and everything kind of took its course. Now, Brian is obviously, he's the king of just, hey, let's just go out and share the gospel. And he's writing books about it and all that kind of stuff. It's the basics, though, you know, in anything you do, whether it's going to war, whether it's going to play a sport, it doesn't matter what you do, you can't forget the fundamentals, right? Because that, it's blocking and tackling in football. I mean, you got to do it. And you got to do the basics. And so That's my testimony, and that's the session. Just kind of get us kicked off, let everybody get in here, get acclimated. I want to do this. I want to have just a time of prayer as we close and go to a break, and we'll come back in about 10 minutes, and Wagi is going to set us up for the next session. I want us to pray over something that is kind of fresh, and I didn't want to do it on a Sunday morning. So I'm looking at my time slot here. I'm probably over. Wagi, where's he at? Anyway, Pradeep Lima, he just sent me an email yesterday, Sunday, I think it was, and he's got a ministry there in Orissa, India, and they're facing persecution again. So, and this isn't just like somebody he knows. This is a ministry, Jabit and some of the other guys have been actually work in this particular village, and they've come in and tore down the church, the house, and the people have had to flee, and you know, send me pictures of the blood and all that stuff. And so I want to just take a moment and pray. You know, it's easy for us to go knock on a door. You know, we don't typically have anybody, you know, beating us down, coming to our house and tearing our roof off the house and all of that kind of stuff. But even if they did, it'd be worth it, you know. And so I just want to just take a moment as we get ready to break and just pray for Pradeep, because I don't really have a good other time to really do it. And where I want to do it, I don't want to do it on live stream and all that. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed for break and come back. And Wagi, you got the next session. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity just to get together. Thank you for the opportunity to just share a little bit about Adopt-A-Street and how God is using that to get us out of our comfort zone as a church and, you know, take these 300 houses and just go back, you know, month after month and invite them to things, let them know we're praying for them, let them know that there's a church that is in the community that does care about them, even if they don't go to our church. And so, Father, I pray, God, that the love of Christ would just continue to persuade hearts to get saved. Thank you for the testimonies that we've heard. Brad McGuire gave a great testimony of how that was the seed plants in his heart to get him saved, and I should have ran that video. And I just thank you so much for just the opportunity to do this and to trust you by faith to go out and sow the word and be obedient in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Help us not to forsake right where we live. Lord, help us to be faithful here. Help us to remember that all the influence, power, and money in the world can't change a heart. Only Jesus can do that. And Lord, I pray, God, we'd be faithful about just doing what we can. And the church is so important. The Christian is so important to the community. We are the pillar and ground of the truth, Lord, and we are salt and light. And I think sometimes we don't appreciate the influence that we have. And Lord, I do want to, as I conclude this season, just pray, God, for the saints in Orissa, especially there in the village not too far from Rigara, that is facing persecution, and the family and the families in particular that are impacted by that and have you know, lost their homes and their belongings and been physically injured, Lord. And just pray for that ministry, Lord, as advancing the gospel in that neighborhood is much more difficult than many of the neighborhoods that we live in. And so I just pray, God, as we get ready for this next session, we'll be talking about some of the dynamics that are changing even in our country and how reaching our Jerusalem, even here in Kansas City area and other cities and municipalities around this nation that we live in, is changing dramatically. And God is bringing lost people to us and the people from fields that desperately need to be reached with the gospel, that are blinded from the light of the gospel. And so, Father, I thank you for this season. I pray a blessing on not only what we've heard, but what we will hear today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, take a break. We'll be back.